It is October 13th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. BMLL has published a post to its blog titled, "The LIBOR to SOFR Transition, Managing Best Execution for Futures Trading." To perform this analysis, BMLL dug into Level 3 order book data on the CME and looked at two different ways the LIBOR transition has been seen in the futures markets. Rich Mackey has been promoted to the CEO role at Prime Trading LLC. He was previously a managing director. JLN recently shared the MarketsWiki Education World of Opportunity short, Rich Mackey, from golfing to trading. Decision-making is key. You'll watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. CME Group has named Jonathan Marcus as general counsel. September was a good month for Nodal Exchange. First open interest in environmental products ended September at 206,138 contracts, up 33% from 154,823 contracts a year earlier. Secondly, in their carbon products, CCAs and REGI, they hit a new record of 42,231 contracts, and open interest for the products was 39,606, up 179% from the 14,175 contracts of a year earlier. The Environmental Finance, the Future of ESG Data Conference in London will be held on October 17th at the Hilton Tower London Bridge. ICE will be represented on the conference panels by ICE Head of Climate Transition Finance, Girish Narula, and Global Head of Environmental Markets, Gordon Bennett. If you followed last weekend's Chicago Marathon, you might have caught one guy running the 26.2 miles in a business suit. That was Tim Carey, a senior project manager of Cboe Global Markets, who wore the suit to raise awareness for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. He was interviewed by CBS News, and there's a link in today's newsletter with that story. Speaking of the Cboe, if you'd like to get a peek at their new trading floor, here's your chance. Cboe is participating in the Chicago Architecture Center's Open House Chicago program on Saturday, October 15th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. The Cboe trading floor visit is part of a tour of the CBOT building at 141 West Jackson. Visitors will only be able to see the Cboe floor from the 8th floor viewing gallery and not be allowed on the main trading floor. The Chicago Architecture Center's Open House Chicago program features behind-the-scenes access to more than 150 buildings across Chicago. The law firm of Jones Day is looking for a financial markets associate for a job in Washington, D.C. The Greenwood Project is looking for a development associate in a hybrid position in Chicago. Scott Caudell, the former chief information officer at Pico Quantitative Trading and the former chief technology officer for infrastructure at Interactive Data and former chief technology officer at Seventix, has started a new position at Google as a customer engineer infrastructure modernization. He has been working for Google more recently as a contractor. In a podcast for The Block, Frank Chaparro interviewed Brevin Howard's Peter Johnson and Colleen Sullivan, co-heads of ventures at the firm. The title of the podcast is Crypto Adoption is Seeing Brands Like Gucci Take Center Stage, say co-heads of Brevin Howard Digital. The Chicago Regional Office of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission today is holding a special program of the SEC Historical Society and the Northwestern University Pritzker School of Law about the evolution of the Chicago Regional Office. The moderated conversation will feature current and former leaders of the office who will discuss a range of topics. Hong Kong Exchange last night celebrated in Hong Kong in a gathering of industry friends at the Happy Valley Horse Racing Course and the running of the Hong Kong Exchange Cup Race. This is an annual cup race that has been held since 1986 to celebrate the merger of four Hong Kong stock exchanges. The United Nations Environmental Program, UNEP, and the Green Finance Institute, GFI, are partnering to host Financing Nature COP27 Special, a podcast series to highlight the role of finance and natural climate solutions in the run-up to the United Nations Climate Change Conference next month in Egypt. The special series began October 5th and runs through November 2nd, 2022. You can listen on Spotify or with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Our MarketsWiki education short of the day is Kristen Baggiano. It's a jungle out there. When Kristen Baggiano was finishing college, she admittedly had no clue what she wanted to do. So when she got an opportunity to spend 3 weeks in the jungles of Ecuador working with indigenous tribes, she jumped at the chance. When she returned, she still had no conclusions except that she really enjoyed indoor plumbing, air conditioning, and American food. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's our Options Discovery, Episode 9, Protective Put Basics. Michael J. Oyster breaks down how to use options to manage risk with JLN's Alex Tang. In this episode of Options Discovery, JLN's Alex Tang breaks down the basics of a protective put strategy where an investor is long a put option while owning the underlying asset. Alex also gets a chance to sit down with the Chief Investment Officer of Options Solutions, Michael Oyster. In this Options Discovery interview, Oyster discusses how options can be used for risk management and navigating a declining stock market. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Barron's. A shocking number of baby boomers and Generation X plan to work past 70. Or forever. Almost half of baby boomers and more than one-third of Generation X expect to work past age 70 or do not plan to retire at all, highlighting the need for backup plans in case life's unexpected events get in the way of such goals. According to a study by nonprofit Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies in collaboration with the Transamerica Institute, 49% of baby boomers expect to or already have extended their working lives past 70s or do not plan to retire. The reasons for doing so are most as likely to be their health, 78%, or their finances, 82%. My comment, I am not sure I know how to stop working. Here's a story from CoinDesk. The rise and fall of Bitcoin culture, crypto's first token, created a culture and then a monster. Bitcoin maximalism has become so desperately unhinged, I consider it a cultural Chernobyl. The situation was not always so. Bitcoin culture was not maximalist for most of its history. The zealots infecting modern Bitcoin culture are usurpers. I arrived into the world of Bitcoin in 2012. I had heard about the darknet marketplace Silk Road and its then elusive leader, the Dread Pirate Roberts, DPR. As a fan of subcultures, I was enthralled, and I still think nothing has come close to that era for sheer intrigue. my comment, they had me at the rise and fall. Here's a story from Gizmodo. The beef industry is trying to sell us bullshit. Like the oil and gas industry once did, Big Meat is slowly ramping up its PR spin on climate. A few weeks ago, a friend sent me a link to an event that was part of New York's Climate Week. The panel titled was Choosing a Climatarian's Diet, the Case for Including Beef. The description promised a discussion of the role of beef production plays in a climate-smart food system. I've never clicked a register button so fast in my life. My comment, nothing like some good storytelling. Here's a story from YouTube. SEC Chairman Gary Gensler answers questions, the problem with Jon Stewart podcast. SEC Chair Gary Gensler is back. John throws some of the 3,000-plus audience questions we got at him, and they dive into the issue of whether the SEC is doing enough to ensure market transparency, why there's not more accountability for the market's biggest players, and what the limits on SEC power mean in a practical sense. Plus, we set a record for the most acronyms in a single episode. PFOF, DRS, PSA, UBS. You name it, we got it. My comment. Gensler is a master communicator, but what is his relationship with Congress? Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our most clicked story on Wednesday was a Business Insider's. I toured the Miami neighborhood where Ken Griffin is moving Citadel, his $51 billion hedge fund. I can see why you chose it. Wall Street South lives up to the hype. Second was the New York Post. Kevin Bacon talks losing most of his fortune to Bernie Madoff. There's obvious life lessons, which was our most clicked story Tuesday. Third was Bloomberg's, look at all the money Cargill made. Here are the top three stories from our lead section of today's JLN. First, the headline story from Bloomberg. Crypto hackers set for record year after looting over $3 billion. Consultancy Chain Analysis has detected 125 hacks so far in 2022. Losses undermine confidence in crypto-based financial services. Cryptocurrencies may have crashed this year, but they remain a digital cash machine for one potent constituency, hackers. At least $718 million has been stolen so far in October alone, taking the gross tally for the year past $3 billion and putting 2022 on the course to be a record for the total value hacked, according to blockchain specialist Chain Analysis, Inc. Most of the targets are so-called decentralized finance or DeFi protocols, which deploy software-based algorithms to enable crypto investors to trade, borrow, and lend digital ledgers without using a central intermediary. The second story is from the Financial Times, from their editorial board. The headline, the UK credibility crisis risks tainting the Bank of England. Counterproductive messaging is hindering efforts to calm financial markets. Some long-dated gilts have crashed more than Bitcoin this year. UK 10-year borrowing costs are near those of Italy, a deeply unhelpful rift, more reminiscent of emerging markets than a G7 economy, is growing between ministers and the central bank over who caused turbulence in financial markets. In short order, Liz Truss's government has presided over Les Britannia Unchained, the book she and her chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng co-authored, and more Britannia Unhinged. And finally, the last story is from the Wall Street Journal. Crypto advocacy group sues U.S. Treasury over Tornado cash sanctions, Coin Center, a Washington, D.C.-based crypto research and advocacy group, filed suit against the Treasury asking to remove Tornado cash from its sanction list. A cryptocurrency research and advocacy group has filed a lawsuit challenging the U.S. Treasury Department's sanctions against cryptocurrency mixer Tornado Cash, Coin Center, a Washington, D.C.-based crypto-focused think tank, along with three individuals, filed suit against the Treasury Department Wednesday in federal court in the Northern District of Florida, asking it to remove Tornado Cash from the sanctions list. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.